we were discussing that what could be the next topic where we can have a workshop again. Originally, this was planned as a retreat. This was not going to be a workshop. It was like, you know, we should go out of Bangalore for a weekend, like Friday afternoon, leave Bangalore, go out and come back Sunday night. But it didn't work out. Logistics, many things didn't fall in place. So we converted the retreat into a workshop. And we are very fortunate we could get the same hall that we had our previous program. So on the concluding day, it was mentioned, we discussed many topics. And one topic is japa, the most important activity in a devotee's life, in one's Krishna consciousness. And we thought this is a very, very important topic. And we are very fortunate that Mahatma Prabhu has been doing this japa retreats and japa workshops across all continents. So we are so very fortunate. The devotees in Bangalore, that right in our own home here in Bangalore, we are able to host this workshop. So from all the three temples and all the devotees connected with the three temples, we extend a very warm welcome and we are very grateful that you are here, you have given us your time, and we are looking forward to the next 3 days that we are going to dive in the ocean of the nectarian names. So once again, a hearty welcome to Mahatma Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, before I do anything, I want to thank all of you. Many of you who were here last time, some who were not, and thank you so much for coming. And this weekend is going to be very special, I promise you. It might be the most special weekend you ever have in your life. So relish it now, and hopefully you'll keep it in your memory. I wanted to thank the organizers of this workshop, but I don't know who they are. So maybe, I know Madhu Sudan Hari, let's give him a big hand. He's been running around badly, trying to organize everything, and so he's done most of the work, but who else is participating in
this? He's the main.
He's the main man. Give him a bigger hand. As we say in America, he's the man. So who else has helped organize? We have, you know, who helped organize?
Madhusudan Prabhu.
Why don't you, nothing can go on automatically, right? If you're not God. As long as you're God, it goes on just by thinking, but if you're not God, it takes people running around. So Madhusudan Hari, let's hear who is help make this possible.
Actually, we have the youngsters who did it last time. We have Nakul and Naresh, and Naresh's friend, I think Vinay, right? Arun, and also getting in people was Viva Prabhu, one of a lot of people. Ranjanitai Prabhu, he helped a lot. Shivas Prabhu, and I mean, so many other people have been, you know, passing the word around. So it's grateful to all of them, and all of you all for actually being here. Teerth Chetan Prabhu also helped getting people. And the poster was made by Sulakshana, that's Hari Krishna's daughter. So a lot of people have been really helpful. Thanks to everybody. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, I just wanted to let you know that the Java workshop is better if you're closer. So if anyone's inclined to sit here or here, you're welcome to come. There's plenty of room still, if you like sitting down. If you don't like sitting down, that's fine. I have another announcement. For those of you who have difficulty understanding English or understanding my English, in the back of the room, it's going to be translated. So, Madhusudan, where are they going to sit?
If you would like it translated, if you don't, of course, we, if they don't understand English, they won't understand this, what I'm saying, right? So, we need someone to announce it in the local language. So could you announce in the local language that this will be translated? In America, you only have one language. Everybody speaks one language. It's simple. But here it's complicated. So you just...
Hare Krishna. ಯಾರ್ಯಾರಿಗೆ ಕನ್ನಡದಲ್ಲಿ ಅನುವಾದ ಬೇಕು ಹಿಂದ್ಗಡೆ ಅರೇಂಜ್ ಮಾಡಲಾಗಿದೆ ಯಾರ್ಯಾರಿಗೆ ಕನ್ನಡದಲ್ಲಿ ಮಾಡಬೇಕು ಅವರೆಲ್ಲ ಹಿಂದ್ಗಡೆ ಕೂತ್ಕೊಂಡ್ರೆ ಕನ್ನಡದಲ್ಲಿ ಅನುವಾದ ಮಾಡಲಿಕ್ಕೆ ನಮ್ಗೆ ಯೂಸ್ ಆಗುತ್ತೆ ಯಾರ್ಯಾರು ಯಾರ್ಯಾರಿಗೆ ಕನ್ನಡದಲ್ಲಿ ಅನುವಾದ ಬೇಕು ದಯವಿಟ್ಟು ನಿಂತ್ಕೊಂಡ್ರೆ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ನಮ್ಗೆ ಅರೇಂಜ್ ಮಾಡಲಿಕ್ಕೆ ಯೂಸ್ ಆಗುತ್ತೆ
If in the middle you don't understand, you can stand up and go in the back.
ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಅವ್ರು ನಿಂತ್ಕೊಂಡ್ರೆ ನಮ್ಗೆ ಅರೇಂಜ್ ಮಾಡಲಿಕ್ಕೆ ತುಂಬ ಯೂಸ್ ಆಗುತ್ತೆ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮ ನಡೆದುಕೊಂಡು ಹೋಗ್ತಾ ಇರಬೇಕಾದ್ರೆ ನಿಲ್ಲಿಸ್ಲಿಕ್ಕೆ ಕಷ್ಟ ಆಗುತ್ತೆ
Sometimes I get excited and I speak fast. Everyone's okay?
Okay.
If you're okay, that's once more, last chance. Anyway, if you don't understand, go in the back, he'll be there. If okay? You want to go? She wants to go. Follow him. Follow him. So I have a couple important announcements. And I need everyone's attention. You know what attention means? In the Japa workshop, we're going to talk about putting your attention on the holy name. But right now I need your attention on me. Is that okay? Oh yes. You see these things? These things have to be turned off. These are called cell phones. Whenever you chant japa, turn off your cell phone. You chant better rounds. Swami was feeling
that after 30 years of being a Hare Krishna devotee, he never actually chanted the holy name properly. He never really chanted. He felt like that. I've never really chanted Hare Krishna. I mean, I chanted, I counted, but I never really did it. So he went off to Govardhan. How many of you have been to Govardhan? So you know, Govardhan is special. And he went off all day, and nobody saw him. He would go in the morning, he would come back in the evening. So people understood that he had found some cave, and he was just chanting. 16, 32, 64, 100, we don't know how many rounds. But he chanted all day. Then he'd come back. Next day he would go out and chant all day. Come back. Next day go out. And this went on for days and days. And he was doing this every year. So we suspect he was probably chanting 100 rounds, 124, 128, something like that. So you could imagine if you were at Govardhan every day with nothing else to do and just chant, you might get a little realization, right? Maybe something would happen. You could imagine. You might get a big realization. You might have an experience with chanting which is very different from your normal life of chanting when you're busy, chanting a few rounds at work and like that. So what happened was he had an experience with chanting which was completely different than his old experience. Completely new. Almost as if he was chanting a different mantra. This could not be the same mantra I was chanting for the last 30 years. I feel different. That was his experience. From that, he had many deep realizations. It's kind of exciting when you think that the holy name that we have can reveal itself in a new way. And that's what happened to him. And he got excited and he said, I have to share this experience. What was his experience? He learned how to go very deeply into chanting. Very, very deeply. In our scriptures, I don't know if you've read verses, but in our scriptures, it glorifies the holy name. It says things like, the holy name is the highest nectar. The holy name is the essence of all happiness. The holy name is the essence of everything. Many, many verses like that. But we read the verses and we think, well, when I chant, it doesn't feel like the essence of everything. It doesn't feel like the highest nectar. Actually, I get bored when I chant. Sometimes I fall asleep. Sometimes I put my beat back down and do something more interesting, like read my email or read my messages on my phone. So he wanted to give the experience he had because he knew devotees, many were not getting it. So he had a lot of realization about what it takes to go deeply into the holy name. So he developed retreats and workshops about the holy name. And about 6 years ago, I had the fortune of working with him for several years, 6 or 7 years ago. And so I got to learn much from him. I worked with Giriraj Swami, I worked with Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, and several other devotees, and facilitated many retreats and workshops. From that, I've gained much experience in how I can help devotees go more deeply. And I wanted to share a few of those things tonight in order to prepare us for the weekend so that we're in the right consciousness so we can get more. And what I'm going to do is something I've never done before because you're all special and I like you so much. I want to do something. It's interesting what I'm going to do. I'm going to start right now with what I normally teach at the end, on the last day and the last few hours. And the reason I'm going to do that, because I think it's the most important, and I think you need to hear it first so that you can meditate on this. Is everyone paying attention? If you're not paying attention, raise your hand. My experience in these workshops is that devotees go more deeply into their chanting than they normally do. And they experience very deep connection with chanting. And they experience a new kind of connection and relationship with the holy name. And it becomes more of something they relish than they have to do. And devotees get excited about it. And they have some of the same realizations that Satchidananda Swami had. And some devotees think, this mantra that I'm chanting now at the workshop, this does not feel like the mantra I normally chant. This is not the same experience I have. So they get excited. Here's the problem that we all face. And you may imagine what it is, but on Sunday night you'll be confronting it in your mind. On Sunday night, when people go back, they begin to think, it was good this weekend, but now I have to go back to my hectic life, and I don't know if I can maintain this. That makes sense? Prabhu, I have to leave for work at 7, I don't get home till 7 at night, then I have to cook, I have to do this, so many things. I'm just so busy, I don't have time to concentrate, like that. So, the challenge that we have is not learning here this weekend. You're going to learn a lot. That's not the problem. You're going to learn a lot of good things. What you're getting here is taking years and years of different devotees' teaching and my own realization of the holy names. You're getting a lot from a lot of people, so it's really good. It's really going to help you. It's going to open you up. It's going to help you see japa in different ways, and it's really going to help you. That's not the hard part. The hard part is Sunday night after 6 o'clock and the rest of your life. That's the hard part. Maintaining it, that's the real challenge. So I wanted to start with that. That's what I talk about on Sunday evening before you leave. But I wanted to talk about it now so you could be thinking about it all weekend. And the reason I present this, I have a realization, I have an experience that for many of us, if we want to chant really good rounds consistently, something in our life has to change, because often our lives get in the way. They're too busy. There's not a lot of time. Or there's time, but there's too much going on, and we can't concentrate. We don't have the impetus. So it's something to think about as you're progressing this week and you're looking at how you can improve your job. But something to think about also is, what about the life I'm going to go back into? Do I want to make changes in that life so that my japa can be better and more consistent? Because if we don't think that way, it's going to be a really good weekend, but the rest of our life may not be so good. And what I think we should be thinking of from this point on, if we're not already thinking on this, if we're not already progressing in this way, but what I think is very important for us is not to think, this japa workshop was really nice and I got a lot out of it, but I don't know if I can maintain it. This is what everybody thinks. Some people think, I don't know if I can maintain it, and some people think, I know I can maintain it. Which is not a good way to lead, is it? If you lead thinking, it was good, but I know I can't maintain it, that would be a great loss, wouldn't it? You agree? So, what I want to suggest to you is that we should develop a different consciousness. And the consciousness should be, from today on, my japa is going to improve through the rest of my life, and it's going to keep getting better. And the reason I say this is I know from experience, if we don't think that way, it's likely it won't. We have to be consciously endeavoring to make it better, because there's so many things out there that get in the way. Right? You have experience? Things getting in the way of your Krishna consciousness? Like television? Like these guys? These really get in the way, don't they? They take up a lot of time. They're very distracting. There's a lot of distractions. More distractions now in today's world than ever before. You want to hear something funny? They did an experiment with people in the office, and they had them working, but also their email and their phones were on. And they had them working, and they monitored their effectiveness working in that environment and working without email and their phones on. Then they have, I don't know how they did this, don't ask me, but they had people working in the office and they got them intoxicated on ganja and they monitored their effectiveness. And they were more effective on ganja than they were with their email and their cell phones on. They were more distracted by the email and the cell phones than they were by the ganja. Isn't that interesting? So we have a lot of distractions. So I suggest that's why I'm suggesting the frame of reference or the consciousness we need to be in to really take advantage of this fully is from today on I improve. And so I use what I'm learning to improve gradually over time. Right? Little bit. Otherwise, I will see you next time, and you'll say, Prabhu, that Java workshop was really good, but, right? But we already know the but is going to be there, right? There's the but, it's already programmed in us, isn't it? We talked about this last time. Yeah, but, that was a good workshop, but. The buts are already programmed in there, so it's important that we have a consciousness of improvement. The second thing I want you to be aware of, which relates to this, is that some of the things you're going to learn and some of the things you're going to be asked to do and some of the things you're going to be asked to look at in your own life, some might be difficult. And you might come to a point where you say, I can't do that. Any of you ever said that before? I can't do that? When you come to something difficult, I can't do that. So it's important to understand that the I can't do that is just the past. We're going forward now, right? So really try hard to deal with that, because that can really hold you down. Maybe you haven't done it yet, but you can do it now. And one of the things that you'll find, if you put your faith in the holy name, it's extremely powerful. It's more powerful than we think. And one of the reasons we don't have faith in that power is because we don't experience it enough or as often as we should. But the holy name could do amazing things. So that's the second thing. If we're doing something and I suggest a certain attitude or a certain way of thinking or a certain change in your life, don't immediately respond with, I can't. But respond with, let's do it. Let's go forward. Otherwise, we'll have to come back into this world, take another body, and attend another japa workshop to work on the very same problems we could be working on in this lifetime, right? Because our philosophy is the subtle body, the mind, it carries us to the next life. And all the problems and obstacles which we did not resolve in this life, we get to work on in the next life. So I think it's a wise choice to work on them in this life and avoid the trouble of having to take another body, unless you want. one. If you want one, then that's another thing. But if you'd rather have a spiritual body, you can solve your problems here. And why do I say that? Because we are going to look at obstacles that plague all the devotees who chant japa. It's not just you, it's everybody. From the Maharajas and Gurus down to the new bhaktas. Everybody's got a mind and it likes to wander when they chant. It likes to worry. Everybody's in the same situation. So we're all facing this together, and it's just the way it is. Okay? And there's one other thing, which is something very important. One of the main obstacles that all of us are dealing with in improving our japa, and I think you already know what this is. One of the main obstacles is that when we chant, what do? When we're not chanting well, we disconnect from the vibration of the mantra. The vibration is Krishna, please engage me in your service. Krishna, please accept me. Krishna, uplift me, purify me. Krishna, help me surrender. That's what the holy name means. That's the vibration of it. That's what it's doing to us. And how often do we chant and disconnect from that and feel nothing other than, oh no, I've got 8 rounds left. Any of you ever think like that? Numbers? How many numbers left? Very, very common. We disconnect and now we're focused on the number. It gets worse also. Just utter boredom. I wish I could be doing something else. Right? I didn't want to be doing this. Then it gets worse. You actually do something else while you're chanting. You could chant and clean, right? You could chant and cook. You could chant and email. If you're really good, you could chant and read, even watch television. Catch the news in a few rounds, save time. When it gets worse than that, then we don't even chant. That's the stage before you stop, because that stage is painful. Have you ever been there? The painful stage of japa? Where you can't wait to put your beads down. It's like when you're tired, you can't wait to lay down. When you're in the painful stage of chanting, you can't wait to put your beads down. That's what we're dealing with. And the proper mood of chanting is the exact opposite. The total opposite of that. And that's what we're going to be fighting. Not only this weekend, but our entire life. Now, why do you think that happens to us? Could anybody say, we have a microphone? Could anybody say why you think that happens? We need a microphone carrier. Anybody here with the name Garuda? You can be a Garuda for a while. Why do you think that happens? And we just don't care.
Maybe because we don't have the taste for the holy name.
We don't have the taste. Very good. The next question is, why don't we have the taste?
We chant at the wrong time.
Chant at the wrong time, when we're distracted. Why do we chant at the wrong time? You see where I'm going?
We are not situated in proper consciousness.
We're not situated in proper consciousness. And why are we not situated in the proper consciousness?
Contaminations.
Because we're contaminated.
We have other priorities in life.
We have other priorities in life. And why do we have other priorities in life?
We don't know who we are, actually.
We don't know who we are. And why don't we know who we are? much about the glories, and why don't we hear much about the glories of the Holy Name? You see where I'm going? Who can answer my, what's the real why?
Chanting for the sake of chanting. Chanting for the sake of chanting.
Chanting for the sake of chanting, just to get it done. And why? Why do we do that? Don't have full faith in the Holy Name. And why don't we have full faith in the Holy Name? We're full of anarthas. And why are we full of anarthas? What's the, we want to get to the cause, keep going.
You don't want to chant properly.
You don't want to chant properly. And why, this is very good, we're getting closer.
You don't why, desire, why you don't desire want? To chant properly. You don't desire to chant properly.
You don't desire, and why don't we desire to chant properly?
We don't know
who Krishna is and what his position is.
We do not desire to surrender to Krishna.
Yeah, very good. And why don't we want to surrender?
We are committing the 10th offense.
We're committing the 10th offense.
Not to have complete faith in chanting of the Holy Name and also to maintain material attachments.
Yes. And why do we maintain the
truth? No faith. Complete faith is not there.
Why don't we have faith? Okay, I'll tell you a story. This is very heavy. I don't want to scare anybody, but this is heavy. Satya Maharaj asked Prabhupada, said, Srila Prabhupada, if Krishna is all attractive, why is it so difficult to surrender? That's a good question, isn't it? Very good question. I'm sure you've thought of that, you know? Here's the most attractive personality in all the three worlds. And when it comes time to surrender, I think, maybe tomorrow. I'll think about it. It'd be nice. When I'm older, I'll do it when I'm older. And I don't know if I surrender, if I'll really be happy. Well, maybe if I surrender, Krishna will take something away. So Prabhupada said, answer that question. He said, the reason is because you hate Krishna.
Wow.
Heavy. How does that make you feel? Pretty miserable, huh? Pretty heavy. So I thought, that's very heavy. Do we really hate Krishna? So I went on and looked and researched Prabhupada's books, and the priest told Prabhupada the same thing. He said, we turn our back to God, that means we hate him. And Prabhupada said, well, if you're a devotee, you don't really hate him because you're trying to serve him. So what did Prabhupada mean? What is, how many of you like to enjoy and control? Oh, well, I should restate that. Is there anybody that doesn't like to enjoy and control? Lord Brahma likes to enjoy and control. He became the supreme controller. What is Krishna's position?
He's the eternal master.
He's the supreme?
He's the eternal master.
Enjoyer and supreme controller. Prabhu, it looks like we have competition. As hard as it is to admit, just try to understand what's going on when you're chanting and there's that feeling that I don't want to do this. What do you think is actually happening? Do you think there's a tinge of envy there of Krishna? Like, I wish I didn't have to do this. I wish I didn't have to spend time with Krishna. If you think about it, you see. Even though we say I'm a devotee and I love Krishna and all that, but now I'm bored chanting. Something is there. I want to be enjoyer and controller, and there's another enjoyer and controller that's saying, no, not you, me. You serve. And sometimes it doesn't sound good. Yes. Jealousy, yeah, jealousy, envy, all these things are there. Maybe subtly for some, maybe can be grossly corrupted. So this is the real problem that we're dealing with. It's not that I don't chant good rounds. this is really the reason, if you think about it. And it's hard to admit, but that's where it starts. So this weekend, we're going to have to look at these things, and I want you to meditate on something that's very, very, this is very, very powerful. When we chant the holy name, Prabhupada said, one of the meanings of chanting, one of the feelings that the devotee expresses is, Krishna, please accept me. Please accept me. Now, why does a devotee feel that way? Because a devotee knows that at some point in time, I turned my back to Krishna and became envious of him. And now, we as devotees realize, I want to change. I want to turn to Krishna. But I have no right to ask him. Prabhupada said that. He said, you have no right to ask Krishna. Why did he say that? Because we left Krishna. We offended him. We turned our back to him. And so now, the mood of japa is not, oh, this is boring. I don't want to do this. There's a competitor there called God who's getting in the way of my enjoyment. But I want to reconnect. That's the whole mood. And therefore, the devotee is praying, Krishna, please accept me. That's his mood. That's the feeling. I mean, it's supposed to be the feeling when we're chanting. Krishna, please accept me. I turn to it. I want to be accepted in what way? Into a relationship. Now, have you ever chanted your round and just thought of it entirely as a process? You just sit this way and hold the beads and Hare Krishna, pronounce properly, sit straight, do the process. Any of you ever chanted like that? Thought of it. It's one of the nine processes of bhakti, right? Chanting. That's the wrong way to think. It's a relationship. Why do I say that? Well, think about it. Who is there when you're chanting? Krishna. Who else? We are. Is that called a relationship? Rabindra Sarup made a funny point. He said, japa puts you on a first name basis with Krishna. Like you can only be on a first name basis with someone you're intimate with, right? We don't say, Mr. Bhagavan, Mr. Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Mrs. Lakshmi, or Mrs. Bhagavan, Pati, Bhagavan. She's the wife of Bhagavan. We don't do that. We say Krishna. That's a first name basis. So when you're chanting, you are there and Krishna's there. And there's a relationship. And the devotee is praying to Krishna, please accept me. I broke the relationship. I'm lamenting. I feel bad. I want to reestablish it. That's the actual mood. And that mood is intensified the better you chant. The more you hear, the more you're absorbed, the more that mood comes. Krishna, please, this is what I want you more than anything. It gets even heavier. You want to hear it? What else? Think about it. So from your point, the devotee's meditation is, I turned my back on Krishna, I broke the relationship, and now I want to connect. Krishna, would you accept me? Jiva Goswami said, there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. We've heard that. How many of you have heard that before? There's no difference. I think very few of us have full realization. Because in Krishna's name is his form, you can see it. It's there. In his lila and his qualities. It's actually there when you're purified. We don't have that full realization yet, but we understand, we accept it. We have some realization. Jiva Goswami said that there's one difference between Krishna personally and his name. And the one difference is his name is infinitely more merciful than he is. Because we turned our back on Krishna and left him. And he came to us in his name. But we can't approach Krishna personally because we turned our back. We offended him. So he comes as his name. And what does he say when we're chanting? This is very, very powerful. And I'm telling you this because this is at the heart. This is exactly the opposite of that boring chanting, finish the 16 rounds, get it over with. At the heart of it, Krishna is saying, while we're chanting, you're saying, please accept me, and Krishna is saying, please accept me. And what do we say? I don't know. I'll think about it. Maybe when I retire. Ravindra Sarup was joking, but he was serious. He said, we pray to Krishna for purity, to remove desire. And we say, Krishna, remove this desire, but not that one. I'll surrender this way, but not that way. And Krishna is saying, please accept me. Please accept me. And we're chanting, Hare Krishna. And we're saying, Krishna, please accept me. And Krishna's saying, please accept me. That's japa. That's real japa. That's what goes on when you're actually chanting. Now, wouldn't that be nice if every day you felt this intimacy? Now, it's a nice meditation tomorrow when you chant. You could be thinking, Krishna's saying, please accept me. And you'll start to feel if there's some resistance. But if I accept Krishna, then what if? We'll explore that later, but I just wanted you to be aware that where we're coming from and where we're going to. We're going to the heart, and we're getting away from the task of chanting. Now, I wanted just to briefly mention the number of rounds, because we talked about just getting the rounds done as if that was something bad, and it's not bad. But the first thing I want to know is there anybody here that doesn't chant regularly every day? You could raise your hand. You chant at all? A little bit? A little bit, okay. So, would you be willing to set a number of rounds you could chant tomorrow on Sunday? Like a certain number? Think of a number. Four? Four rounds, okay. How many of you chant four or more rounds every day? Raise your hand. If you chant 16, no. How many of you chant four but less than 16? Raise your hand. You chant four, but less than 16. So, can I suggest to you for this tomorrow on the next day, you chant 16 rounds? You'd be willing to do that? It'd be very important for you because we're creating this weekend like a retreat. So, when you go home tonight, you're still on the japa retreat. You can't watch television tonight. You have to go to bed early. When you get up in the morning, you can't read the newspaper. You can't do anything. You're on a japa retreat. So I think it's very easy for those of you to chant 16 rounds. It takes about 2 hours. We don't start till 11. So I want to ask all of you who are chanting more than four rounds but less than 16, when you arrive here tomorrow, do your best, and I know you can do it, to chant 16 rounds. Now, those of you who chant 16, how many would you like to chant tomorrow on Sunday? You pick your own number. I won't tell you a number, but chant more than 16. We're doing a japa retreat. We should increase, shouldn't we? Right? Very important. This, the idea of this weekend, the concept of this weekend, is that from this point on, this weekend is only about japa, nothing else. That's all we're focused on this weekend. Not only here, but when we go home, it's just improving japa. Everything in our life should support that. And if anything doesn't supportive, push it away. Why do I say that? Because this is the kind of practice you need to do, because you have to do this in your life all the time. You have to make space to chant good rounds, right? Any of you who are chanting 16 rounds, it's difficult sometimes to find the space, isn't it, and the time. You have to struggle. So we want to do that this weekend. This weekend is dedicated solely for japa, okay? So if you have plans to do anything else, please cancel them if you can, and just focus on japa. So that means tonight, when we leave, we're going to go to bed early, we're going to get up early, we're going to chant. If you get inspired, those of you who chant, we're going to chant four rounds. If you get inspired, you can chant more. Those who are chanting four, who want to chant 16, you get inspired, chant more. Srila Prabhupada said, the symptom of an advanced devotee is his taste for chanting. That is the main symptom, his taste. So one of the objectives of this weekend is to increase the taste. So what we are doing tonight is creating a foundation for tomorrow morning. And we want you to have a very good japa tomorrow morning. We don't want you to get bored. And we don't want you to get distracted. We want you to do something tomorrow. And I have a t-shirt that tells you what to do. So give me 30 seconds, I'm gonna put on the t-shirt, okay? I only have one t-shirt of each, but somebody's gonna get to wear it after I take it off, and I have 11 more, so you can wear it for the weekend, if you're good. Can you see this in the back? To be the runway? Should I walk down the runway? What does it say?
When you chant, chant.
Now that sounds like something pretty stupid to say, right? What else am I going to do when I chant? Well, when you actually think about it, you do a lot of things when you chant. Especially in your mind. Can you see it in the back? Barely? All right, let me walk back. He's got to move his camera. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, when you chant, chant. Tell your person next to you, when you chant, chant. Okay. So, about a year ago, I was putting together a japa workshop, and I thought, if everything I taught could be put into one phrase, it would be this: when you chant, chant. Now, why do I say that? Well, we discussed a little bit of what we do when we chant, right? We do other things. We get distracted. But what I didn't mention is what we do in our mind. We also do things in our minds. Have you noticed that? You're chanting Hare Krishna, but your mind is actively engaged. And the busier you are, the more active it tends to be. And the very heart, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he said, the one offense in chanting, the worst thing you can do is to be inattentive. And he said, that's the foundation for every other offense. Because why is that? Because you're ignoring Krishna. So what could be worse? I mean, you're calling him in his name and then you ignore him. And I had an experience yesterday morning getting on the airplane from Calcutta to Bangalore. And they said we're going to Bengaluru. And I thought, where is that? I thought I was going to Bangalore. So I was in the line to get on the airplane, and they were looking at our tickets with a little scanner. So we were all lined up, and the guy was scanning the tickets. But he wasn't looking at anybody, he was just looking at their tickets. He didn't look at their face, he didn't smile. Now, if this were America, that guy would have been fired in 1 second. Because in America, when you come up, they say, hi, how are you doing? And they smile. It just makes you feel good, right? So he was in a rush anyway. And maybe that the culture is different here. But I felt ignored, because he didn't even look at me. I was just coming in, and, right? So now we're chanting, and we're off somewhere, who knows where. How does Krishna feel? You think he feels ignored? I think he does. Why do you think we go off in our mind when we chant? I think I already answered the question earlier. There's this person that we've been competing with, right? And sometimes it's easier not to think of him, even when we're chanting. And it's very interesting if you think about it, because our philosophy is that you should connect everything in this world to Krishna. And Krishna's name is already Krishna, and sometimes we can't even connect his name to him. And that's pretty sad, when you think about it, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing, I don't know if I can connect this phone to Krishna. All right, maybe I can't, maybe I can. But this is Krishna himself, and I'm not connecting him. So it's a huge problem. And if you start to look at all the problems you have in chanting, it comes back to this. When you chant, you're not chanting. You're doing something else. Want to hear a funny story? This man comes to the house, and the daughter-in-law of the house, when she's asked, can I see the father, can I see your father-in-law? She says, no, he's busy now, he's repairing his shoe. Can you come back later? He said, no, okay, he needs his shoes, he only has one pair, he has to repair them, I won't bother him. So, actually he was in the temple chanting japa. So the man comes back 2 hours later, and then the wife, who was the mother-in-law of the girl, am I making sense here? Says, can I see your husband? I understand, I came 2 hours ago, that he was repairing his shoes. And she said, who told you he was repairing his shoes?
Said your
daughter-in-law. So she got so upset with the daughter-in-law. She was screaming at her. This man came to see my husband, and you said he was repairing his shoes. He wasn't repairing his shoes. He was in the temple. And the man overheard it and started laughing. He said, actually, while I was chanting japa, I was thinking about repairing my shoes. So, I guess that's not, you could think of worse things, I guess. But you understand the principle, right? So, tomorrow morning, I have a request for you. And what I would like you to do is make an effort. The key here is effort. Don't worry about the result, just the effort. I would like you to make an effort to chant the best rounds you've ever chanted in your life. Don't worry if they're not the best. That's not your assignment. Your assignment is to make the effort. Now, in order to do that, I would like you to write down everything that you think you should do from the time you leave here to the time you begin chanting, and while you begin chanting, to chant the best rounds that you've ever chanted. Just, it's like you're planning your day. Just plan your job. Just write down obvious things, go to bed early, don't do anything else when I chant. Things that come to your mind, particularly think about things you tend to do that get in the way of your chanting. that you habitually do, that you know you shouldn't be doing. So make a little list. This is your plan, how to chant the best rounds you've ever chanted in your life. You're going to make a little plan here how to do that. Okay? So write down everything that you need to do tonight to prepare yourself. If you want to read tonight, chant some prayers in the morning, get up early, where you're going to sit. Everything you're going to do, chant the best rounds you've ever chanted. Make your plan. Write it down. Whatever you can think of.